श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी इति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are discussing today from the 10th canto, chapter 45, verses 26 through 28. Let's do 26 responsibly and 27 and 28 together.
Atha Shura Suto Rajan Putrayo Samakaraya पुरोधसा ब्राह्मणैश्च यथावद् द्विज संस्कृतम् अथ शूरसुतो राजन् पुत्रयोः समकारयत् पुरोधसा ब्राह्मणैश्च यथावि द्विज संस्कृतम् संस्कृतिम् अथ शूरसुतो राजन् पुत्रयो समकारयत् पुरोधसा ब्राह्मणश्च यथावत् द्विज संस्कृतम् पुत्रयो समकारय पुरोधसा ब्राह्मणैश्च यथावत् द्विज संस्कृति अथ शूरसुतो राजन् पुत्रयो समकारयत् पुरोधसा ब्राह्मणैश्च यथावत् द्विज संस्कृतिम् वर्ड फॉर वर्ड अथ देन शूरसुतः द सन ऑफ शूरसेन वसुदेव राजन ओ किंग परीक्षित पुत्रयोः ऑफ हिज टू सन्स समकारयत् हैड परफॉर्म्ड पुरोधसा बाय अ प्रीस्ट Brahmanaihi, by Brahmanas, cha and yathavat properly, dvija samskritim, Brahminical initiation. Translation, my dear king, then Vasudev, the son of Shurasen, arranged for a priest and other Brahmanas to perform his two sons' second birth initiation. Text 27, chant together.
Tebhyo dattakshina gabo rukmamala svalankritah स्वअलंकृतेभ्यः संपूज्य सवत्साह क्षौममालिनी
Translation Vasudev honored these brahmanas by worshipping them and giving them fine ornaments and well ornamented cows with their calves. All these cows wore gold necklaces and linen wreaths. Text 28
याः कृष्ण राम जन्मक्षे मनोदत्ता महामतिः ताश्चाददात् अनुस्मृत्य
Translation, the magnanimous Vasudev then remembered the cows he had mentally given away on the occasion of Krishna's and Balaram's birth. Kamsa had stolen those cows, and Vasudev now recovered them and gave them away in charity also. Purport, at the time of Krishna's appearance, Vasudev had been imprisoned by Kamsa, who had stolen all his cows. Still, Vasudev had been so jubilant at the birth of the Lord that he had mentally donated 10,000 of his cows to the Brahmanas. Now upon Kamsa's death, Vasudev took back all his cows from the late king's herd and gave 10,000 of them, according to religious principles, to the worthy Brahmanas. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Ajnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. So today's talk, I'll divide it in four parts. The first part, I will discuss the meaning of initiation, Brahman initiation, or second birth initiation, which is given to Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, and Vaishyas. The second part I'll talk about Krishna's position and the interesting contrast that initiation for Krishna brings about, if one analyzes philosophically who Krishna is. The third part I'll talk about the duties of a brahmachari who takes second birth initiation, and finally I'll conclude with the meaning of initiation in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. So the first part, so Krishna here, the background here is Krishna and Balaram became initiated. They were twice born, dvijas now, and the priest who arranged that was Gagacharya, which becomes clear later on. When Krishna was born, he first appeared as the four-handed Vishnu. He had his jewels, his helmet, the Kaustub gem around his neck, the Shrivatsa mark on his chest, fully grown hair, bangles, basically, you know, yellow garments, blackish body. When Vasudev saw this sight, he was so overcome, so happy, so jubilant, as the word is used here, that he gave away mentally. He was in a prison cell, so he gave away mentally, gave away 10,000 cows. And so these verses are revisited in that incident, and now he's actually physically giving it away. Now that Kamsa is dead, and he's been restored, the property belonging to Vasudev has been restored to him. So, what is second birth initiation? The first birth is in ignorance. Icha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parandapa. Icha and dvesha, desire and hate, caused by these, born from desire and hate, the dualities that are present in this world, they delude us. We are in illusion when we are born, without exception, sarva bhutani sammoham. So that birth is in birth into ignorance. We don't know who we are, what the purpose of life is, what we are doing here, and so on. The second birth is the birth into knowledge. That's why we have this prayer. We say, Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. The word Om, of course, is invoking Krishna. Then Ajnana Timirandhasya. The darkness of ignorance, Ajnana. Timira means darkness. By which the person is blinded, the eyes can't see. Timirandhasya. Jnananjana Shalakaya. Shalaka, the word Shalaka means a stick. Anjana is an ointment. So with that, with the stick, you put some ointment at the end and you apply it to your eyes so you can see. And what is that ointment? It's jnana, knowledge. Jnananjana Shalakaya. Who does that? Shri Guru. That's why we do Shri Guruve Namaha. Chakshurunmilitam Yena. By whom the application of this jnana ointment on our eyes opens our eyes to the reality. That is why we offer obeisances to Shri Guru. And so that's what the second birth implies. In the second birth, one surrenders to his spiritual master. And in the Vedic tradition, one gets the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is the source of all knowledge, if you will. All the Vedas are contained in the Gayatri. So actually the Gayatri Mantra is so powerful that all bona fide scriptures start with the Gayatri Mantra. And Srimad Bhagavatam also starts with the Gayatri Mantra. So first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam is Janmadiyasya Yato Anvayaditaritaschartheshu Abhigya Swarat. It goes on, and the end it is Satyam Param Dhimahi. The word Dhimahi indicates Gayatri. So, Vedic knowledge gives us an idea, you know, the real picture. But does Krishna need initiation? Is he in illusion? Does his eyes have to be opened to knowledge? I mean, it doesn't make sense. And actually, the Bhagavatam, the first verse establishes that no, he is not never in illusion. So, in the first verse tene of the Bhagavatam, tene brahma rida ya adi kavaye. Brahma means the Vedas. Tene is imparted. Here, by whom? Adikavaye. Adikavaye is Lord Brahma. So Krishna has imparted the knowledge of the Vedas into the heart of Brahma. But then somebody could say, well, maybe somebody else imparted the knowledge into Krishna's heart. So he's not the origin. So to negate that, the last line of this verse says, धामना स्वेन सदा निरस्त कुहकम सत्यम परम धीमहि। धामना स्वेन सदा, सदा मीन्स इटर्नली, निरस्त कुहकम, कुहकम इज इल्यूजन, निरस्त रिजेक्टेड, इटर्नली इल्यूजन इज रिजेक्टेड फ्रॉम कृष्णा, फ्रॉम हिज बो अबाउट, फ्रॉम हिज paraphernalia, anything that's connected to him, including him. Illusion is eternally rejected. So Krishna is never in illusion. So what to speak of requiring a second birth to open his eyes? That is not required at all. And of course, he is the origin of knowledge. Svatah siddha jnana. Sridhar Swami, in his purport to the first, this first verse, he says, Krishna is self-perfected in transcendental knowledge. Svatah siddha, self-perfect. Prabhupada also translates these words. This also comes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in one place. So nobody gives knowledge to Krishna, and Krishna is never in illusion. Those are the two conclusions. In fact, Krishna is the source of illusion, and that's what the third line of this first verse establishes. And that line is, Tejavari mridam yatha vinimaya yatra trisargo mrusha. Tejo Vari Mridam. Mridam means land, Vari means water, Teja means fire. Yatha Vinimaya. Vinimaya, the word Vinimaya indicates something looks like something else. So a person who is in illusion will, if he's thinking of water, his intelligence is obsessed with water, then even if there is fire in front of him, he'll see water in the fire. And the same way, Tejo Vari and Mridam, he'll see land in water, if he's thinking of land. So that's illusion. The quality by which the what is not appears to be, it appears to be, that's illusion. So Krishna is so powerful that he makes the in material world, three sargo, the three modes of material nature that are running this, appear factual when they are not. They're temporary, they're false. So in that sense, Krishna is the source of all illusion. And Sridhar Swami again on this, for this verse, he says, Yat satyataya mithya sargo api satyavat pratiyate tam param satyam. Sridhar Swami defines absolute truth, the supreme absolute truth, param satyam, as by that, by which truth, mithya sargo api, this false universe, satyavat pratiyate, looks real. That is the supreme absolute truth. So Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. He covers himself, yoga maya, samavrita, and then this universe, which is actually false, appears real by his potency. So not only is Krishna not in illusion, not only is the source of knowledge, but he is the source of illusion. That's why he's sarva karana karanam. So considering all these points, now we have Krishna's second birth initiation going on. So the most innocuous verses in the Bhagavatam are full of depth. So then why is he taking initiation? There are two reasons. At least I could think of two reasons. I'm sure there are infinite reasons. So the first reason is yada yada acharati sreshta tat tat evitarojanaha saya pramanam kurute lokah tad anuvartate. The sreshta, the superior, as he acts, people in society follow. Krishna is setting down an example for everybody. No, second birth is necessary. Not that we can avoid these Vedic rules and regulations. So it is for our benefit that he is doing it. See, Krishna took, God himself took second birth initiation. He himself went to Sandipadi Muni to learn. So naturally it behooves us to follow his example. So Krishna explains there, name parthasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana na anavaptam avaptavyam varta eva cha karmani. I don't have anything to gain. I have no duties to perform in this world, he explains. This is in the third chapter, I think. Yeah. Yadiyam na varteyam jatu karmanyandatritaha mama vartamananu vartante. If I don't follow my duties, other people will follow my example, and then utsidayirvime loka na kuryam karma chedaham sankarasya chakarta syam upahanyam imaha prajaha. Sankarasi, unwanted population will result. If somebody doesn't take brahmacharya, doesn't control himself, then what's happening in the world today? We get children born out of wedlock, unwanted pomp pollution. Sankara Sachikarta Sam Krishna says, I'll become the cause. If I don't follow my duties, I become the cause of unwanted population. And Upahanyami Maha Prajaha, I become cause of destruction of this whole world, social order in this world. So Krishna does it, you know, he's taking this initiation for that one reason. The other, of course, is to satisfy his parents. So in the previous verses, we saw how Krishna is expressing regret that he was not able to be the son for his parents, to give them satisfaction. So now he is doing this to satisfy his devotees. Which is interesting because Vasudeva and Devaki have done this before. It's not the first time they have given Krishna second birth initiation. Before this, maybe they did it infinite times, but before this birth, they were Kashyap and Aditi. And Vamandev appeared again the same way. He appeared in four-handed form, jewels, Sri Vatsamak, Kaustubhmani and everything. And then he took the form of Vamanadev. And then they performed the second birth initiation of Vamanadev. And it's described that the sun god personally gave him the Gayatri Mantra. The sun god gave him the Gayatri Mantra, and Brihaspati, the preceptor, he gave him the sacred thread. And, you know, brahmacharis, the duties of brahmacharis, one of them is to beg. And they go from door to door, they beg, they collect alms, they bring it back for the spiritual master. And the rules are so strict, you cannot eat before he has eaten the guru. And if the guru doesn't say you should eat, he forgets to say eat, then you don't eat, you starve for the day, you fast. So brahmacharya is severe austerity. So Vamanadev also took brahmacharya, and then there are many examples. So Krishna has, he's a brahmacharya, has taken, you know, wears the sacred thread. Naranarayan Rishi is another one, another example. And then many, you know, in the Bhagavatam, many places is described when we are doing worship, we offer the sacred thread to the deity also. So those are the two parts. Then the third part is, what are the duties of a brahmachari? So like I said, well, let's talk about the Brahman who takes brahmacharya, second birth. Because that's what primarily goes on in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, in at least ISKCON. The second birth is a Brahmin Diksha. So, you know, the duties of the Brahmin are described in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Shamodamastapashyaucham shantir arjavam evacha jnanam vijnanam astikyam brahma karma svabhavajam. Shama means mind control, peacefulness. Dhamma means self-control, controlling our senses. Kshanti, tolerance. Arjavam, straightforwardness. Jnanam, vijnanam, cultivating knowledge, study, Veda, adhyayan of the Vedas, studying the scriptures. Vijnanam, Prabhupada translates this word as wisdom, which means, you know, experience obtained from applying the knowledge in the Vedas to our everyday living. Astikyam, brahma karma svabhavajam, full faith in God. These are the qualities of a Brahmin. And one of these is Shamodamas tapas, I forgot, tapa, austerity. So the brahmachari controls his senses, is strictly forbidden to associate with women, for example. And then there are three types of tapa. There is the, you know, shariram tapa, and then there is so deva dvija guru pradnya pujanam shaucham arjavam brahmacharyam ahinsacha shariram tapa uchyate. This is the 17th chapter. Deva dvija guru pradnya pujanam, worshipping Krishna, the guru, the Brahmin. Shaucham, being clean, again arjavam, straightforwardness. Brahmacharyam, controlling the sexual urges, ahimsa, non-violence. Shariram tapa, this is the austerity of the body. Manah prasadaha samyatvam maunam atma vinigraha bhava sanshuddhir iti etat tapo mana samuchyate. Krishna explains the austerity of the mind. Manah prasadaha, being satisfied with what you have, samyatvam, maunam, gravity, Prabhupada translates that as gravity, atma vinigraha, Bhava sanshuddhir iti etat tapoma, purification of oneself and surrendering to the spiritual master. These are the austerities of the mind. And then the final tapa, shraddha, no, what is it? Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chayat swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapuchu. This is very important for brahmacharis as well. Anudvegakaram vakyam, not saying harsh words, satyam, always the truth, priyahitam, for the benefit of others, swadhyaya abhyasanam, speaking words from the scriptures, speaking, quoting shlokas from the scriptures, swadhyaya abhyasanam chayva vangmayam tapuchu. This is the austerity of speech. So these are the three austerities that brahmacharis are supposed to observe. So then finally we come to the fourth topic, which is the topic of second birth initiation in Vaishnavism, in ISKCON specifically. So we have the first initiation, which is Harinam Diksha. And our understanding is that the Vaishnava is higher, much higher than the Brahmin. Because the Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, these are bodily designations, upadhi. And the Vaishnava is after Sarva Upadhi Vinirmuktam, going beyond the bodily designations. So the Harinam Diksha, once somebody starts chanting Harinam and follows the four regulative principles, then that person is more exalted than a Brahmin. That's the conclusion of the scriptures. The Brahmin in the sense of the Vedic Brahmin, definition of Brahmin. So there's this verse Prabhupada cites, Svado api sadhyaha Savanaya Kalpate. This is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yad Anukirtanat. I don't know all the lines. Somebody, Pushkar Prabhu, somebody might know. But Kwachit. If you just heard Harinam once, or you chanted it once, or you know, just Swado Api Sadhya. Even if that person was born in a dog eater's family, Swado Api. Sadhya means immediately. He immediately is qualified Savanaya Kalpate for doing Vedic sacrifices. Savanaya. Vedic sacrifices. So that means he doesn't need any Brahminical initiation and things like that. If he has Harinam, if he has taken that, Harinam is so powerful, he's been purified and he's qualified for doing Vedic sacrifice. Prabhupada was criticized a lot for giving second birth initiation, which I haven't touched upon yet, to his foreign disciples. In India, the caste Brahmins said they are just not qualified because the concept was that the person who is born in a Brahmin family is alone qualified to become a Brahmin. And this is Prabhupada's praman. His praman is that Harinam elevates a person above the status of a Brahmin. So then the question is, why are we giving Brahman Diksha? Yeah, why are we getting Brahman Diksha in ISKCON? I mean, you have the first initiation. So now you are superior to a Brahmin, and now you are being almost demoted because you are getting Brahman Diksha. But that's not the concept. The concept is that the second birth, first of all, it is different from the Brahmin Diksha in the Vedic tradition, in the sense that in the Vedic tradition, when you get Brahman Diksha, you get the Gayatri Mantra. But in the Vaishnav second birth, it is you get three Gayatris in addition, and three Bija Mantras in addition. So there is of course a difference between the two, not the same. And the idea is that by getting Brahman Diksha, one becomes qualified to directly serve the deity. So there are two vidhis or margas, the Bhagavat Vidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi. The Bhagavat Vidhi is the nine processes, Smaranam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, and so on, which are the direct path to God, to achieving Krishna, as the Bhagavatam again and again emphasizes, Harinam, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. But we also follow, Prabhupada says, simultaneously we follow the Bhagavad Vidhi and the Pancharatrika Vidhi. Pancharatrika Vidhi is, you know, the rules and regulations for deity worship that are laid down in the Pancharatra scriptures. And the praman for doing this is Shruti, Smriti, Purana, Adi, Pancharatri, Ratra, Vidhim, Vina, Ekantiki, Harir, Bhakti, Utpata, Yeva, Kalpate. For the neophyte devotees, regulations and rules to follow for deity worship is essential. One cannot say that now one is on the Bhava platform because one chanted Harinam, you know, after the first initiation. So these two together help us advance in Krishna consciousness, and that's why we follow the Pancharatra Vidhi as well for deity worship. And for doing so, we have the second Brahman Diksha, the Brahman Diksha, which we get after the first Harinam initiation. So these are the points I wanted to mention today. Any questions, discussion, comments? Trivikram Prabhu.
So, in Vedic times, that's when the Varnashram system was established. The Brahmin were considered to be like the topmost personality within the Varnashram system. But how were they different from Vaishnavas? Whenever you read like the Ramayana and the other literatures, you know, you don't hear about Vaishnavas, you just hear about Brahmin and hearing them as being superior. How are they different then from, say, now, the Vaishnavas now?
I mean, see, the word Brahmin, when it refers to Satya Yuga, for example, they are Vaishnavas by definition. Today's Brahmins, you know, there are the Smartha Brahmanas who will not accept the superiority of Krishna. There are Brahmanas who worship Durga. They will do sacrifices of animals in the temples and so on. So comparing today's situation to the millions of years ago, you know, there's going to be a huge disconnect. By definition, the Brahmanas were Vaishnavas because Krishna was accepted, Vishnu was accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you didn't have to make the distinction between Brahmin and a Vaishnava, you see. In the modern times, things have become corrupted, and so that distinction has come about. Does that satisfy the question? Yeah. Question for Prabhu?
Also, for second initiation, for Diksha, Jiva Goswami Pad explained, of course, that gives facility to worship Thakurji, to worship the deity. But also, when you take Harinam, at that time, technically, like you had mentioned, your eligibility in terms of brahminical status has been established. So in the line, Jiva Goswami says, also, Diksha mantras are specifically meant, Divya Gyanam Hyanta Mantre Bhagavat Surup Gyanam Tenam Bhagavan Vise Sambandhams Gyanam Scham. That what type of relationship you have with Krishna is given in a seed form in the mantras at the time of Diksha. So Diksha has two things, Divya Gyan and Kshiyate Papanasanam. Divya Gyan part is, what is my relation with Krishna? Kshiyate Papanasanam is to take away all of your previous Parabdha Karmas, all these things at the time of the Diksha ceremony. So Diksha, more so for Vaishnavs, is this thing, that we have Harinam, which establishes the chanting of Nam, which is most important. Then what is our relation with Harinam and with Krishna, everything is given in Diksha mantras. So getting the Diksha mantras, one thing that's really important is called mantra artha chintan. What is the meaning of all the mantras, etc., etc.?
Thank you. Thank you. I think that Mataji had a hand up, and also for this one.
I was just wondering, at this time, Krishna and Balaram took the sacred thread initiation. They didn't have that in Vrindavan?
Yeah, so it's explained that they didn't have that second initiation in Vrindavan, yeah. I think some speakers mentioned it before, the previous classes, yeah.
Prabhu, you were mentioning how the Bhagavad Vidhi, or the nine items of devotional service, you know, that's enunciated by Prahlad Maharaj. And there's one Bhagavatam class where I don't have the, I don't have my computer with me, so I can't give the exact reference, but I was searching Bhagavat Vidhi and Pancharatriki Vidhi, and where Prabhupada says that Bhagavat Vidhi is the first three items, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, and then it's Pancharatriki Vidhi. Now that makes some sense to me, except for Satyam Atmanam, Atmanavedanam, you know, which is a, these are advanced, that's advanced platform, where definitely Bhagavat Vidhi would be involved. But I'm wondering if you have a comment, and then I was a little confused by that statement, and I'm sorry I can't give you the exact reference.
Yeah, so Prabhupada says that the nine processes, at least in the Bhagavatam, or maybe it is in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, one of the purports, he says the nine processes are the Bhagavat Vidhi. But it seems like he might have said in another place that the three processes are like, yeah. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean, those are the, you know, I think it's evident that those first three are the most prominent, you know, in Bhagavat Vidhi. And so, but the other, you know, going from that, you know, Padasevanam, Archanam, those two are clearly
deity worship, yeah.
Pancharatriki Vidhi, and maybe we could also say Vandanam Dasyam.
But Vandanam Dasyam, I mean, Akrura is known for Vandanam, but you know, he was doing Vandanam.
Yeah, I mean, it's oftentimes a very internal
thing. Yeah, that's why I don't want to comment on this, because all those processes can be, you know, Vandanam can be done to the to Krishna in the heart by the a devotee on the stage of Mahabhava. He's seeing Krishna inside. He could do all the nine processes to Krishna in the heart. So it's hard for me to answer that.
Very well, thank you. I think it's a really nice topic. I have first initiation, not second, and I'm just curious, just like the qualities you were describing that are required for a Brahmin initiation, you know, with my current lifestyle, with my career, you know, I eat out in restaurants, also just with my personal conditioning, I still watch movies, all these things that for me, I feel are so far from, you know, the qualifications of a brahmana. I really feel like I can't even consider a second initiation realistically till after I retire. That's how I feel about it. So do you think that it's okay to just, you know, for such a long span between first and second, just because of one's particular situation with the job and all that, or we should just push for, you know, because like I can't avoid eating out and things like that.
That's a complex question. I'll try to answer it to whatever ability I have here to answer. The first part is that there is no difference, at least one should not see a difference between the person who has first initiation and the person who has second initiation. And with your kind of humility, you know, if somebody says a Brahmin is superior to you, I would argue that against that vociferously. So the first point is that there is no real difference. Well, somebody who is doing chanting Harinam Diksha, has gotten Harinam Diksha, and the second, the Brahmin, you could say there is a difference in the functional roles that they play in ISKCON. You know, that they're qualified by their spiritual master's mercy to worship the deity and so on and so forth. Now, regards the question of watching movies and things like that, well, we all have our weaknesses. And some of us might have more insidious weaknesses that we don't even know they, that are there, even though we may not be watching movies. Watching movies is not a sign of a weakness as much as not knowing what weaknesses one has. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. No desire for wealth. Janam, followers, sundarim, beautiful women. These are the three impediments Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, delineates as impediments on the path back home, back to Godhead. Now, I'm not prepared to say that I don't have those weaknesses. I have Brahman Diksha. So ultimately, who decides whether you get Brahman Diksha or not? It's the Guru. It's not our headache to actually decide if you're qualified. Who is qualified for anything? It's all mercy. Now, of course, the flip side of it is, if we recognize that there are certain things in our practice that shouldn't be there, that are difficult, I mean, from my personal side, since you shared a personal example, my personal example is prasad, is I'm not able to regulate how much I eat prasad. It's frustrating. I want to, but it's hard. So what does one do? I don't spend too much time agonizing on it. I think the most important thing is to do what we are doing well. So we have 16 rounds. Well, let's stand them seriously and sincerely. We are forced to eat in restaurants. Well, every time we go to a restaurant, let's remember Krishna and beg his mercy. You know, we shouldn't think that we are alone in this process. It's mercy from the Guru and Krishna. Sometimes we forget to beg for it. But if you beg for it on a regular basis, all these things will just fall away. I mean, they're not important. I don't think that Krishna is going to, at the time of death, say, well, you watched movies. Mercy doesn't work like that. So yeah, I mean, but of course, it behooves us to try our best. My experience has been studying a scripture on a regular basis, every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhakti Naishthiki. It is guaranteed, if we study the Bhagavatam every day, this will happen. It is mystical. How many people have given the example that they started chanting Harinam and all their weaknesses that they struggled for all their lives fell away? But then some weaknesses will stay, other weaknesses that we have lost will come back. But to counter all these, regular Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, reading the Srimad Bhagavatam is critical. I think it just completely weakens the effects of Maya. But if it's not regular, then we fall back. I think that's the practical advice I could give.
Thank you. I can't speak from much realization or knowledge on this, but in principle, I'm about ready to read Satchinanda Swami's book on Gayatri Mantra, and I can maybe speak more authoritatively. But in principle, we're chanting the Gayatri Mantra to help us come to the platform of Shuddhanam, isn't it? I mean, that's the idea behind it, you know. So it seems to me that, it, you know, even though there may be some seeming disqualifications, there's a great advantage, you know, to chanting the Gayatri Mantra and, you know, taking Brahman initiation. I mean, of course, the main point, as you mentioned, is the diksha, the Harinam diksha, but there is some advantage, you know,
in the
whole process. But I can't speak from realization of that, you know. I mean, I haven't developed much expertise in chanting the Gayatri Mantra, and I realize, you know, that I've got to go deeper in that. Satchinanda Swami in the foreword or preface described how the Gayatri Mantra died for him because he hadn't put enough into it, and that stimulated his interest to study and understand it much better, you know, and enter into a much deeper internal mood, you know, while chanting. Because he had a friend that did that, and that inspired mm-hmm. him. So it does seem, you know, that it would be.
Yeah, but at the same time, once we have Harinam Diksha, we are safe. So definitely the Gayatri Mantra, it'll help us chant Shuddhanam, it'll accelerate our progress. But once we get Harinam, at least from my point of view, the distinction should not be made by other, by us, you know, that this has first initiation and second initiation, so this person is somehow superior. And that's definitely not there, should not be there. And then the second point is that, you know, everybody has difficulties in their sadhana, in their practice, and everybody's situation is different. And so there has to be some, how should I say it? Consideration for some people's personal situations. You know, if people say, well, if sankalp anukulasya varjanam, pratikulasya varjanam anukulasya sankalpam. My principle is that I accept what's favorable for devotional service, and I don't think about those things that might get me down and depressed to such an extent that I become frustrated with the process of sadhana, you see. If somebody's running in a race and you tell him, well, you're going to win the race maybe after 50 years. That's very depressing. Like you're saying, after I retire, I'll take Brahman Diksha. Till then, I can't chant Shuddhanam. No. You can chant Shuddhanam. But because everybody's situation is different, and mercy accounts for that. That's what I'm saying. Harinam ultimately also has to do with mercy. So maybe the mercy will come in the form of Shuddhanam before the Brahman Diksha, or the mercy will come in the form of Brahman Diksha and then Shuddhanam. We don't know. These are mystical things. But I don't. It becomes otherwise. It becomes frustrating. Our standards are high enough, you know, for regulatory principles. Which other religious movement does that? Yes, ma'am.
I was just thinking how Prabhupada, in his pure intelligence, you know, he took advantage of the situation that he found in the Western world, and in the old days, out of ignorance, people thought that second initiation meant for worshiping the deity, so only. So purposely, they wanted to take second initiation because they wanted to worship the deity. It was something very attractive. Mm. And but so many of us, we took second initiation out of ignorance. I mean, you know, first initiation, second initiation, whatever. We didn't know what we were doing. I don't know. I didn't know. So Krishna's mercy on us. But if you have a little bit of intelligence, you have to take advantage of this lifetime. Prabhupada gave it to us. We're able to take it, so we should take it. And we try our best.
Yeah, but again, coming to that point that you mentioned, we don't really take initiation. The Guru gives us initiation. Right? We might think, oh yeah, I mean, I applied on an application form, it was passed on, and I got, it doesn't work like that. So we receive second initiation. And so Prabhupada, when he gave second initiation to his disciples, he was not making a mistake. I mean, you know, he's Krishna's direct representative. So he was giving it to qualified people, even though the people in hindsight might think they were not qualified, or that they were in ignorance. in the same way, you know, mercy, but the point is, once one gets Harinam Diksha, one is a candidate for mercy. And that mercy may come in the form of second initiation or not. Doesn't really matter. As long as one remembers Krishna at the time of death, that's what counts. Of course, that doesn't mean we just give up our sadhana now that we have mercy. This is a complex topic, and I feel like I'm talking on this when I have no understanding of it. I'm put in the hot seat, so I have to. Pushkar Prabhu?
Sure, she said something about ignorance and taking the second initiation and worshiping the deity. I'm not sure what she said. Could she repeat that?
She wasn't clear what it really meant to do second initiation. Mm-hmm.
Well, I just wanted to emphasize one little thing that, you know, starting about more than a year before Prabhupada's disappearance, he was made several great big statements about second initiation, that people were taking it for granted. Mm. And that there should be a standard, just like Janmasthami helped establish, and others before him, even to, you know, Prabhupada wanted this standard that you have to take so many, you know, spakti, shastri, this and that. Mm. He didn't want people just, but for expediency, there was, before that, there'd been, you need so many people worshiping you, give this guy Brahman, give this girl Brahman, whatever, that's okay. But then later, there were times not recorded, like, Prabhupada, there were some people getting second. Anyway, he said, oh, they don't even have neck beads. Or then he said, oh, yes, ISKCON Brahman. And this is something that there's no video. And he said, ISKCON Brahman. He pantomimed somebody eating, sleep, and just sleeping. So it's not like Prabhupada was just this old man giving out, you know, give me this, give me that, like sitting behind a counter.
Yeah.
He knew that people weren't that qualified. And he wanted to get qualified people. Let them just work then. He said, there's no need for them, unless they're worshiping a deity and they're strictly following, there's no need for seconds. But there was a standard, you know, so there is like a incremental standard that people are supposed to be following, not just, you know, Okay, you get second because I've been here 6 months, 8 months, or 2 months.
Mm.
He was pretty heavy about it, boiling the milk.
But so yeah, but that, so that's the decision for the guru, and so you know the disciples don't have to ponder over it so much. The guru has the vision and the knowledge and all this information to decide whether somebody is qualified for second initiation. Now, if Prabhupada did give second initiation, even for expediency, we can't fault him for that. You know, he's perfect what he does.
I just want to throw in something really weird. And there's a letter where one temple president had asked Prabhupada if, by recommending people either for first or second initiation, that the temple president would get a reaction, some other reaction, if they weren't qualified.
Hmm.
And the Prabhupada's response was, why some, why not all?
Thank you. Mother Montu?
I was just remembering it by the stories, different pastimes. So one thing is, I always thought of Nitya Bhagavata Seva. It said that if you regularly are performing your sadhana and hearing Bhagavatam class, then you're almost to nil, so you're qualified. That's what I always understood. And then I remember this one, I think it was in Mayapur, one of the older devotees was falling asleep during Bhagavatam class. So he told him he should be out in the fields, plowing the fields, as opposed to being in the temple. So he made a distinction on hearing Bhagavatam as a brahminical qualification, and if you're falling asleep in class, then go work out in the fields. Mm. Next day he was behind an ox pulling.
Yeah, Prabhupada could be tough and heavy. There's a hand up again. Also, Mahamaya Mataji at the back.
That just brought to mind how Prabhupada initiated all the Bengali devotees in Mayapur, gave them first initiation. Hmm. But the ladies couldn't, most of the ladies couldn't chant japa. They just talked to each other. So Prabhupada told him to go in the kitchen and do seva instead, and he wouldn't give them second initiation. He made that distinction. The couple of ladies who could chant 16 rounds regularly, he gave second initiation. But I just wanted to say my view of initiation is kind of like a beginning. It isn't like, oh, you're qualified now, but it's more like here's an opportunity to become qualified. That's my understanding. Yeah, initiation means beginning. Yeah, okay, there you go.
At least in text 5 of Nectar of Instruction, Prabhupada does describe diksha as a process whereby one is taken to the highest platform. But what occurs to me in this discussion is that, you know, when we look at the tremendous, I guess you could use the word attrition rate, you know, the numbers of devotees that start the process that, but then it somehow or other drop out, that we need all the help we can get, you know, so that's another argument, you know, in favor, you know, of trying, you know, to, I mean, many devotees have complicated lives, you know, by the circumstances, but somehow or other, if we can squeeze these things into it, you know, they're kind of the basic facilities that Prabhupada offered us, then the guarantee's there, you know, I mean, then we get tremendous facility. Krishna gets behind us, you know, and protects us. So, anyway, that's a prominent thought that occurs to me, you know, that when I see the numbers of devotees that, like, I took initiation with, you know, back, and now they're not active, you know, and the vast majority of the devotees that I met over the years, you know, kind of fell into that situation. So it's a serious proposal to try and, you know, go the distance, you know, in this lifetime. And
Manushyanam sahasreshu kashchid yadi siddhay yadatam api siddhanam kachin nam iti tatvatah. Otherwise Krishna's words would be false. If everybody went back to Godhead, you know, it was that so. If it was that easy, then why would he say out of millions one person? So, yeah, it is difficult. But svalpam api asya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. We still are in a very good situation, because even a small amount of this dharma takes care of the greatest fear. You know, we are progressive back to God. We are on the path back to God, and we're making progress. So some people will get there quickly, and we don't know what their history is, their previous births, whatever. Some people will take many lifetimes, but they are both going back to Godhead, you know. So my point is that one has to be sensitive not to cause frustration to others depending on their life situation, as long as they're doing 16 rounds, which is tough for most professionals, and they're following the four regulative principles, and they're trying their best, and they're aware of their weaknesses, you know, it's fine. I don't see why. I mean, Harinam Diksha, what is that verse? Sanketyam parihasyam vastodam helanam evava vaikunthanam grahanam ashesha agaharam vidu. So this verse is powerful. If you have by accident heard Krishna's names, you're talking about, that Prabhu was talking about destroying sins, by accident, or even if you are trying to deride the name, Helanam, Vaikuntha Namagranam, Ashesha Agharam Viduhu, all your sins, Ashesha, without any leftovers, everything is destroyed just by hearing it once. So, I think we should leave it at that. Harinam Eva Kevalam. And yes, there will be milestones along the way, like Brahman Diksha or Sannyas, you know, or whatever, but Harinam is the key. So I guess I'm kind of emphasizing the Bhagavat Vidhi here, and that is to accommodate everybody so that people don't fall away because the process is too difficult or is impossible for them given their life situations to do anything about it. I mean, Prabhuji?
Actually, that what you said last, that was pretty much it. So.
Thank you.
Yeah, just emphasis on Nam, so I think what you said was a wrap.
Yeah.
La segunda iniciación puede ser por medio de karma.
He's wondering if someone is given second initiation might be just karmic, because of karma.
Is the question whether we get second initiation because of karma, good karma, bad karma? First of all, karma has got nothing to do with this. Karma doesn't come anywhere, it's long gone. I mean, you don't get Harinam Diksha because of your karma either. So what to speak of the second initiation? Karma has nothing to do with it. Bhakti, the process of bhakti is free from the effects of karma and jnana.
Jnani karma.
Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Nitai Gaur Premanande.